this morning. I'm going to pray for him. Just before I do that, in the pre-service prayer, one of the folk there, Carol Lee, here at the front, had a picture of as being like a great marquee that people were coming to. But in this picture, she saw the marquee flipped over, and it become not a marquee, but a boat. A riverboat, like the old American Mississippi riverboats, I imagine. But it was flipped over, it became a boat. The thing about a marquee is settled for people to come to. The thing about a boat is what? It goes to where people are. And there was an encouragement that that's the sort of people that God wants us to be, the sort of church that God wants us to be. And so I want to pray about that. I also want to pray about the art show at the weekend. You might be thinking, what are we doing having an art show as a church? Well, who believes this world is God's world? And that includes creativity and all other stuff, not just religious stuff. But of course, it's about a boat going. It's about trying to build bridges into community. And some folk may find it hard to come on a Sunday morning, but easier to come first to a home group or to an art show or whatever. So it's part of us being who we are in Christ, but it's also part of us trying to be creative and reach out. So we're going to pray about that. We're going to pray about the art show and being a boat, not a marquee, and we're going to pray for Tim as he shares God's word this morning. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for that reminder this morning that you want us to be a boat rather than a marquee. You want to flip us over in order not to be a people who say, come and see what we've got, but to be a people who are ready to go out and find others and tell others what there is on board with Jesus. And we do pray, therefore, Lord, for the art show. And next Saturday, we want to pray that it would be a time when bridges are built to many, many people in the community, that many folk would come along and out of that maybe start asking, so what's happening here Sundays? Thank you for the interest there is in the community about this building. But it's not about this building, Lord, it's about you. And it's about where you want to take us and the people you want to see saved and changed in this city. And so we pray a blessing on the art show this weekend especially. Pray a blessing on the home groups. Pray a blessing on everything that's going to be happening this week through your people. And Lord, we want to pray now for Tim as he shares your word with us this morning. Thank you, you've put something on his heart, particularly for us as a community today. We pray that his lips would be anointed to speak. And we pray that our ears and our hearts will be very anointed to hear. Give us open hearts today, Lord, to hear your word, let it sink deep, and to have wills that say, right, what am I going to do with this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everybody. You're all looking very uncool. I don't know, Wes looks pretty cool. I think Wes was born in the wrong era. I think you should... Well, let's pray. Father, help us this morning. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. Every one of us. No matter where we've been, what we look like, what we've done, what we have or don't have, you love us all equally. There are no favorites in your kingdom. And that's awesome. And you've given all of us a call to follow you and to do your will and to be effective and fruitful as ministers of the new covenant. As men and women who are called to live the ministry of reconciliation. And you've anointed us for that as well. Some of us don't believe that. Some of us don't feel that. But that's the truth. Your Spirit is here and with us to anoint us to do the work that you've called us to do. It's not about how good we are or not, how much we feel we have or lack. It's all about what your Spirit can supply. And your Spirit can supply everything we need according to your riches in glory. And so we lack for nothing this morning. We say that in faith. We lack for nothing in Jesus' name. Because you are our Father and you are a generous, giving God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, every week I try to bring a word from the Lord. But this morning I feel like God has given me a particular message to speak to us as a community of people at this particular time. And so I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 20. Which is toward the beginning of your Bible, for those who don't know where Numbers is. There's a lot of numbers in my Bible. Which one? Numbers chapter 20. And really quickly, the context is, of course, God is leading the Israelites through the desert toward the promised land. And this story picks up on a little moment where they've stopped and they're beginning to run out of water, as we'll find out. Before I read this, what I want to do is just quickly tell you how this is going to go down. I feel like God has given me a prophetic word for us this morning, particularly to speak into where we are at right now as a church. And it's going to come in the form of an encouragement first, then a warning, or perhaps an exhortation is better, but there's a sense of urgency to the second part of this word. And then finally, a call to a specific kind of response that I feel like God has placed on my heart for us to engage in together. Just the encouragement first is this. We, as a church, have gone through a massive amount of change over these last few months. Is anyone with me? Who can testify to there being a lot of change going on over the last few months? We have essentially brought two congregations together and moved them both into a new location. In the midst of all that, obviously Point Grey Community Church, what was the congregation of, said goodbye to their lead pastor, and then I came in as an interim lead pastor, and then who knows what's happening tonight. There's an AGM where my fate will be decided. My life is in the hands of the Lord. But we have been through a lot of change, far more change than actually I thought possible in such a short space of time. And I've talked to many leaders the last few weeks, Mike included, and others, as I've talked to them about the kind of change we've been through. Nearly all of them have said, and these are men and women who've been in ministry for decades, I've never seen a church go through that much change that quickly and survive. And we've held together because I believe we've all sensed that this has been the Spirit leading us. Now, there's been a process to that. It wasn't just like one day we were doing one thing and the next day we're doing something else. God led us through these last few months carefully. I believe he's paid attention to our need for him to walk us through step by step. But we've held together because we believe that the Lord is leading us. And I believe the Lord is pleased with us as a community for our faith and obedience through this process. So the first thing I want to say to you is a huge encouragement. I believe that God is very pleased with us as a community for holding together and for trusting him through this process. And because we've done that, he is going to lead us to the next thing. He has so much more for us. I mean, as we've gathered here in this space in the Hollywood, I mean, coming here into this building was not the point of all the change, was it? Coming to this space was not the destination that God had in mind for us as a church. I mean, we're here geographically. This is the destination that we have found ourselves in, but this is not the destination that God has in mind for us as a community. It's something far greater in mind for us, which is about the dynamic life and power of the kingdom. working through us. Amen? And that's what the Spirit wants to unleash among us. And I believe we've positioned ourselves in a place where we can enter into that because we've been faithful and obedient to His leading so far. So He's saying to us, well done, my good and faithful servants. You've come this far with me. I have so much more for you. You're learning how to walk with me step by step, and this is good, and I'm going to lead you into the promised land, as it were. I have something in mind for you as a community, for this city, for this time, and we are in the right place. And it's got nothing to do with the Hollywood as such. It's that we've placed ourselves under God's lordship, in the center of His will, and I believe that's His encouragement to us this morning. Numbers 20, let's read it. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. If only we died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord." That's a lovely thing to say. "Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." Verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before the before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he'd commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I will give them." These were the waters of Meribah, which simply means quarreling, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where He showed Himself holy among them. This is the word of the Lord. What I feel like God's given me to say to you this morning from Numbers 20 is fairly straightforward. But let me frame it by saying this. God is very pleased with us. He is pleased with our obedience and our faith so far. And He's led us out to this place, two congregations coming together, to this place at this time. Now, we have water to drink, but we're going to run out of water at some point soon. And by that I mean, we're kind of riding right now on what the Spirit is doing among us. But I guess the warning is that how we position ourselves now over these next few weeks will begin to determine and shape what kind of church we're going to become in the months and years ahead. So God's pleased with us, but I almost feel like as a community we're at a threshold. God's wanting to lead us into something new, but we can refuse it. God is wanting us to exercise faith again, but we can pull back in fear. And effectively, when God calls Moses to speak to the rock, God had already given Moses instructions previously to strike the rock, and water will flow at another time when the Israelites were running out of water. And this time the Lord says, "Now I want you not to strike the rock, but speak to the rock, and that's how the water will come." And the people had gathered, and they're running out of water, and they're beginning to grumble and complain. And I feel like the Lord has just given me a warning to us to anticipate that if we don't respond to God in faith for the next step of the journey, and not just ride on what we've achieved thus far, or kind of hold on to the things that we've done in the past, if we're not willing to let go of that now and embrace what God wants to do now and into the future, then all we'll be doing essentially is continuing to try to get water by striking the rock, by doing what we're comfortable with. But instead, God wants to lead us into a place where we're able to now speak to the rock, essentially exercise a new kind of faith and authority to see His Spirit come and be at work among us in ways that we've never seen it before, in power that we cannot even possibly yet imagine or expect. But it's going to take us being brave enough and having courage and faith to step forward again into something new that we're unfamiliar with. We're at a threshold, but that threshold is also a crossroads. We can either go this way or this way. And I feel like the way is very clear for us. Now, why is God saying this to us? And I think it's simply this. At every time where there's big change, a lot of change takes place, you achieve a certain amount, it's easy then to want to rest and kind of draw back and just, and kind of sit with what you've achieved and stop pressing forward. But as God led the people of Israel through the desert, He brought them to this place called Zin, the desert of Zin, and they stayed in a place called Kadesh. And they knew they were running out of water. And I feel like the Lord is saying, if we just rest on what we've achieved so far, we're going to run out of water in the Spirit. And what's going to happen is we'll start to quarrel with one another. And you'll start to quarrel with me. And you'll start to quarrel with God. And you'll ask a question, something along the lines of, why did you bring us here? You with me? Now, Moses could have responded by saying, I didn't bring you anywhere. This is what God has done. And I feel like I want to say the same thing. Hey, look, it's not my fault. Don't blame me. But the point is, God didn't lead us here to this place just so that we can gather in the Hollywood. God led us to this place, and in the process of doing that, He has broken away all the things that we've been familiar with and comfortable with as a church. Has He not? Isn't this all very different? But the danger is that we could try to make this look like what we've done before. And that's not what God is calling us to. God's led us to this place so that we be open and flexible and able to let the Spirit lead us again into something even more new, which has nothing to do with this building. This building's wonderful, but I'm talking about a dynamic in the kingdom, a dynamic in the Spirit that He wants to open up for us. And we're going to have to learn as a community how to begin to speak to the rock. We're going to have to learn how to speak the language of faith, how to exercise our authority as the children of God, and not just do what we've been familiar with or comfortable with or what we know has worked in the past. We have to embrace something new, and it's going to be a little bit scary. You with me? All right. Now, as Peter Dove was speaking last week, he mentioned Isaiah 58 and the call to a kind of fasting which leads us to action, or a fasting that is in alignment with our actions, so that our inner spirituality and our outer actions line up, so we're not hypocrites. What we believe in our hearts is the same thing that we do on the outside. Now, as I was reflecting on Peter's sermon and thinking about fasting, I went home. I was at home that evening. I was doing the dishes. Our dishwasher is broken, so I have to do them by hand now, which, isn't it terrible? It's soap on my hands and to do some work. And it's what I've discovered, actually, doing the dishes is a really good time just to think and pray. And I was doing the dishes and thinking and praying, and I felt like, and something about Peter's sermon, not what Peter said as such, and this is no slight on Peter at all, but something in his sermon didn't sit quite right with me and kind of was provoking me. It was like God was pressing something in my spirit and I just couldn't quite figure out what it was. I went away wrestling. And as I'm praying and seeking God, I felt like he said to me, look, when I spoke to the Israelites in Isaiah 58, I spoke to them in the midst of them fasting and praying and seeking me, and I told them in that posture, this is now what I want you to do. And so as much as Peter was calling us to action, and I think that's right, I felt the Spirit is saying to us, first we need to posture ourselves in a place where we are seeking and fasting and praying without anticipating yet what it is that we're going to do. And so I felt like the Lord is calling us as a community to fast and to pray together, to seek His face so that we might be filled with His Spirit again in a way that we've never been filled before, and empowered in a way that we've never been empowered before, so that we can now do what we're called to do in the next stage. But it won't be us trying to figure it out or just doing something because we feel we have to. Now we're doing it because the Spirit is compelling us, and it's our joy to do it. We have authority and power in the Spirit to do it. We know what God wants us to do, and we're willing to step into it and move ahead. That's what I feel like God is calling us to do. Before we act, we need to pray. We need to seek His face. We need to make like Moses and Aaron in verse 6. As much as they got it wrong, in the end, they did get something right, that before they responded to the people, before they said, okay, here's what we're going to do to find water, they went to God and they fell down on their faces and they sought Him and they sought His wisdom and His glory covered them, and then they knew what they had to do. Now, they were disobedient, and that's the challenge. And once we hear God speak, we have to be obedient to what God has called us to do. So, you know, here's the warning, right? If we're going to enter into this, and I believe God will speak to us, but then we'll have to do what He tells us to do. And that's why we need to fast and not just pray. That's why I really believe fasting is important in this. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There are times when I don't want to do what God wants me to do. There are times when I don't want to love my neighbor. There are times when I don't want to be filled with the Spirit because I know what that's going to mean. It's going to mean I'm going to have to change. I don't want to change. I like how things are, thank you very much. You with me? When we fast, we're essentially taking a step of faith where we say, you know what, I'm going to punish my flesh. Right? In the sense of, I'm going to put my body on the line. I'm going to put my body on the altar. And I'm going to, in that place of vulnerability, I'm going to let the Spirit do what the Spirit needs to do in my heart to change me. So essentially, a season of fasting is saying, God, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to put myself before you so that you'll change me so I want to do it. You with me? You're stepping into it. It's an acknowledgement that you need something from God that you don't currently have. You know, this season, and especially the last few weeks, have been a real test of my call, and for Melissa and I both, a really difficult test of our call. I thought that when we would come here to the Hollywood that everything would suddenly get easy. I don't learn very quickly. But what I've discovered is that everything has gotten a whole lot harder. And I don't mean it's harder to lead, I mean I'm yet again in a place of warfare. You know, we've had a lot of media attention. That has brought me to a place of warfare, because I don't want us to get kind of strung out by the media. I don't want the enemy to break us apart by attracting a whole lot of unwanted attention. This has been a really challenging season. And especially coming into tonight, the AGM, and you know, there's going to be a vote for me as to whether I will be the senior pastor of this community for the long term. And that has caused Melissa and I to go back to a place of prayer and get on our knees before God and ask, Lord, do we really want to do this? Is this really what you have for us? And I guess it all came to a head last Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, and I was really, really struggling. And I'm really seeking God and asking the Lord just to confirm His call on my life and on Melissa's life. And a whole bunch of things happened that day, which I just want to tell you a couple of them. One is that Carolee here, gave me a book, which I have up here. Yeah, I'm going to blame you, blame you. Whoops, a book called Pastor Bob. It's a biography of Bob Birch. How many of you know Bob Birch? Show us your hands. So how many of you know about the renewal that happened here in Vancouver in the 60s and 70s out of St. Margaret's? How many of you are part of that? There's a few, yeah? You know, in the 60s and 70s, there was a little church out on the east side called St. Margaret's where the Spirit was unleashed on that community in a really powerful way. And God did some amazing things. Things that are still being felt in this city today, in fact. And it just seemed like over the last couple of weeks, but especially that Wednesday, I kept on having conversations with people about what God did then at St. Margaret's in the 70s. And it's just kept going, and God's brought all these people into my life who keep asking, I keep having the same conversation. I think, what is going on? And I feel like the Lord has been trying to get my attention, and He's been trying to say something very simple to me. Listen, Tim. I've done it before. I can do it again. I'm just looking for a people who are willing to follow me. You with me? And I'm reading a couple of chapters here from this book about what was happening in those days. And all these hippies were coming into this church and getting saved. And hippies were the precursor to hipsters. So let's pray for all the hipsters in the city. They just try to pretend that they're not as concerned about how they look. I think God wants to, I know this sounds really arrogant and really presumptuous, but I believe that God wants to use us as a community as a vessel for renewal in this city. And that's why we need to fast. Because we need to want that. We need the Spirit to stir that up in our midst. And we need to be careful, really, really, really careful, that we don't become a community that is always trying to get water by striking the rock, by doing what we've always done, just because that's what we've always done. I feel this so strongly, but I don't want to make it up. I don't want to just have a strategy meeting and figure out what we need to do in order to enhance our mission. Our only strategy at this point needs to be to get on our faces before God and ask the Holy Spirit to show us what He wants to do and to bring us all to a place where He can do it in all of us and through all of us. See, I don't want this to be about me. I don't want this to be about Mike. I don't want this to be about any of the leadership as such. I want this to be about us as a community of people filled with His Spirit, with all of us active and empowered and using the gifts that God wants to give each of you for His glory, to see people healed, to see people saved, to see people set free, to see people free from addiction and slavery, so that we can actually together testify in a real way that Jesus is actually alive and that He's real and that He wants to change people's lives. Amen. Now, one final scripture and then I'm done. What's the time here? I've got this clock right in front of me. You think I would see this? Did you see how big this clock is? And it says, anybody? 22. Hey, I've got 30 minutes left. We all want fresh water, don't we? We all want something new in the Spirit. I don't want to be just doing the same thing over and over and over again for the rest of my life, hoping that this time it will work. Here's what I said to God, and this also sounds really arrogant and presumptuous. I said, okay, God, I'll do this. But I want you to do something. I want you to unleash your power through this church in a way that goes beyond even what I'm expecting. I don't want to stay here in Canada, leaving my home country and all that means, just so that I can do church as usual. Just so I can do something ordinary that everyone else is doing. I don't want to give my life to something like that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, well, I did what everyone else was doing. Well, I just kept doing the same old thing every week. I don't want to get to the end of my life and feel like that's what I invested my time into. Do you? And so Luke chapter 5, this is a passage that always seems to come up in my life at key moments of transition. I was just thinking about fasting and about praying, and I was reminded of this passage. And here, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees said to Jesus in verse 33 of Luke chapter 5. They said to him, the Pharisees, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast. So yes, at the time that Jesus is with his disciples, they're not fasting. They're celebrating. The Messiah has come. This is fantastic. But there'll be a time. Jesus will die, and yes, he'll be raised and ascended to the highest place. But in those days, when he's absent from them in the body, they will fast. Then they will fast. And then he tells them this very strange parable, and the two don't really seem to go together, unless you understand something about fasting. He told them this parable. It's very dark up here. You know, and that red and orange light on the red words in my Bible just makes it look like it's all just part of the same thing. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it onto an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garments, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. Now he's talking a parable to the Pharisees, and obviously it's about the transition of the old covenant to the new covenant, and God is bringing something new, and with that's going to come new wine. But there's also a message in here, I think, about the dynamic nature of the kingdom. That through times and seasons in history, the church forms itself into certain ways in order to be able to respond to the culture that it's in and present the gospel and the life of Jesus to the culture that it's in certain ways, in specific ways. So in the first century, they did it a certain way. In the medieval period, they did it a certain way. And now in our own time in the West, we have to think and pray hard about how it is that we're going to live faithfully and present faithfully the good news to our own culture. We can't apply medieval or first century techniques to our own culture. It's just not going to translate, is it? But, and here's the thing, we can have a strategy meeting and talk about how we need to appropriately kind of embody the gospel and present the gospel to our own culture, and that would be a very good and helpful and fruitful conversation, I'm sure. But it's not going to do something that's essential. It might change the wineskin around. It might massage it in certain ways. It might, you know, stretch it out a bit. But it's not going to bring the new wine. You see, we can reform ourselves, re-strategize, restructure ourselves till the cows come home. It's not in and of itself going to bring the new wine. What we need to do, and this is why we need to fast and pray, because all of us together need to place ourselves under God's lordship in a way that allows him to speak to us and get his hand into our lives and into our hearts and start to change us fundamentally. I don't want to just be shifting the chess pieces around on the same old chessboard. We need to let God give us an entirely new game to play. We don't need just to have a structural strategy meeting. What we need is for God to show us what he wants us to do. We need to hear a message from the Spirit about how we're to walk with him in this time. And when we hear that, and we start to walk in obedience, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get some new wine with the new wineskin. And we're not going to be able to say, oh, it was Tim's great idea. Or it was the leadership had this fantastic idea, this great new strategy for how we're going to reach our city. No, we're going to say, this was the Lord's doing. And he's going to get the glory. Because this can only come from God. Are you with me? And I want Jesus to be glorified in this church and in this city. I want hundreds and thousands of people to meet him through the witness and the life of the Spirit through this church. I'm not content just to have a nice Sunday morning gathering. I want us to be unleashed in power on this city for the glory of Jesus and for the saving of this place. Because God's done it before, and he wants to do it again. And he wants to keep doing it in every generation. And now is our time, folks. Do we want to miss it? No, we don't. So we're at a threshold. And I believe the Spirit is calling us to set aside a period of time to fast and pray. Okay, so here's where we move from the nice warm fuzzies to the, oh, actually, I've got to do something about this. Now, I have to be honest with you. And as I've prayed, I'm not sure yet exactly how to do this. I feel like we need to start this season of fasting and prayer at the beginning of November. So we've got a week or so to start to prepare ourselves. And in that time, I and the leadership will give some instruction about how we're to fast together so that we know what to do. But here are a few ideas for you to ruminate on. See, fasting is not just about going without. It's going without for a reason. It's going without so that you can make time, you can open up space in your life to pray. That's essentially what you're doing. See, the reason it's a fast is because in the ancient world they didn't have microwaves. Right? And cooking, preparing food, took a long time. It took all day. You'd go and you'd get the food, you'd grind up the grain, you'd soak the beans, and then you'd finally get to making it, and you had to go get the wood, you had to get the fire started, you had to spend all that time preparing the food, and then everyone would gather and eat it, and then it'd be all the cleaning up. And that would be an all-day affair, right? Just providing food for the family was a big job. And eating the meal and going and getting the food and cutting the wood, it was all very labor-intensive and took a long time. And so people would fast so that they didn't have to do all that other work so that they could set that time aside to pray. You with me? So what you need to do is say, okay, maybe it's not food necessarily that I'm called to fast from, but maybe I need to set aside one day of the week, for example, where I'd normally go out socializing with my friends and just stay home and pray. Or maybe I need to get off the internet when I'm finished at work and instead of trawling Facebook all night, shut the computer down and spend the evening in prayer. Or maybe, yes, go without a meal one night of the week so that you or your family can gather together and just pray. In other words, do whatever you need to do to make time in your week every day to seek the Lord's face in an earnest way. Now, again, we'll give some instruction, but that's kind of the idea with me. One other thing is I think through this season it would be really good for us, for those who can make it, to say, come out on a Sunday night at Point Grey and we'll spend an hour or so, maybe from 5 to 6 or something like that, praying together. We'll give some more instructions on that. But are you with me? Are you hearing what I feel like the Lord is saying to us today? Okay, let's stand up. Now I'm going to ask Actually, Wes and maybe Wes and Tyson in the band, if you guys want to jump up. I feel to get this going, it's just asking the Lord how to finish off this morning. And I felt what he wants us to do is remember that this is not just about us, this is about our city and about what God wants to do in our city. We need new wine because God loves this city and wants to use us to reach it. And so I feel like we need to start this off, we're going to finish this morning by praying for our city and asking God to break our heart for this place and for the people that are around us. Because it's so easy, isn't it, just to go through your day in, day out, do what you do, and forget that there's all these people around you that need to meet Jesus. And so we're going to ask that the Lord will make us sensitive to those whom he's calling to himself and break our heart for the city so that we can begin to pray for it in a way that's real. So Jesus, we ask that you would stir our hearts this morning for our city and for the people that are around us. Lord, we ask that you would give us new vision, all of us, each of us, in all of the spheres of life that we inhabit, for how you want to bring in your kingdom and your kingdom's power through us into those places. Lord, I pray that you will defeat our fear in Jesus' name. I pray that you will give us boldness to be your people in this time and at this place, when the whole world around us is saying, shut up, stop talking, don't believe in Jesus, that's intolerant. We're going to say, have you actually met him? Do you know what his love is like? If you knew what the heavenly gift was like, you would do anything to obtain it. And Lord Jesus, you want to use us, your men and women here, to be the ones who will give people something to drink. Fresh, living water, in Jesus' name. But we need that water ourselves in order to give it to others. We need that new wine ourselves in order to share it around. So we need you to pour out your Spirit on us in a way that we have never experienced before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just wait on the Lord for a moment. Think about the people in your lives that you could pray for. Let's just wait on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Share.